Hello, I'm Dr. Jesse L. Grice, founder and senior pastor of Trueline Baptist Church. It's my heart as we welcome you. I welcome you, and I praise God that you'll get something from it and bless your life. In Jesus' name, we love you.
Come on, you can do better than that. To the one who resurrected his own self on the third day, to the one who woke you up this morning. Come on, let's do better than that. Let's give our God a praise. Can y'all give it up for your students? I always say the wave starts in the student section. If you want a good wave, it's got to start in the student section. They gave us a wave. My brother on the saxophone over here, he's showing off over here. Y'all better give it up for these kids. Amen. Amen. What a blessing indeed it is to be here in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here at Trueline, and I'm excited about our new friends, Dr. Grice and Lady Joyce. They have treated us so well these last couple of days, and we thank God for them. Can you give what the Bible calls the keeper of your soul in Hebrew? Can you give your leaders, Dr. Grice and Lady Joyce, a hand clap? Amen. To the wonderful staff and elders and deacons who are here, I thank God for each of you. Visitors that are here, we thank God for you. And I thank God for my beautiful wife, Shamika Jones. Y'all give it up for just putting up with your boy. Amen. That bio is a little old. It's 22 years. 22. She stole all my youth. Amen. There is a word from the Lord for us today, I believe. If you're turning your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 9, and we'll look at this text message from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll look at verses 1 through 9. When you find it, just say, word up. Amen. If you're using a device, we are not impressed. You just click the button. If you're still looking, the table of contents is your friend. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Y'all ready? Reads like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy. Everybody say, holy, holy, holy. Holy. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Everybody say, glory. Glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Everybody say, smoke. So I said, whoa. Everybody say, whoa. Is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Everybody say, here am I. Send me. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell these people that keep hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. I want to talk briefly from this thought, divine interruptions. Divine interruptions. I need you to get that in your spirit. So if you're not too mean or bougie, go ahead and talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Sometimes there will be divine interruptions. Father, have your way now. Speak a word to us. Change us for the rest of our lives. Inform us by your word. Transform us by your spirit. Let us know, God, that without a shadow of a doubt, when we leave this place, we would know that we have run smack dab into God. Touch our hearts now. Our minds now. Speak to each of us individually that we would be better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. Grice, I hate interruptions. I know hate is a strong word, but I hate interruptions. If I'm talking, I want you to listen. While you're talking, I'll listen. My big mama said it like this, that's my grandmother. She said, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should do more listening than you do talking. I hate it, Dr. Grice, when someone says, I hate to interrupt you. Well, if you hate to interrupt me, then why are you interrupting me? But the reality is that God is oftentimes in the interruptions of life, and seldom is he in the plans of life. I'll say it again. You can tweet that. God is oftentimes in the interruptions of life, but seldom is he in the plans of life. I hate interruptions, but the reality is that Jesus specializes in interruptions. Okay. You remember Jesus, his first miracle, there's a wedding. And every good wedding has to have a good after party. They have an after party at the wedding, and in the after party, they have alcohol. They have wine. Y'all so saved. Why? You should have saw the looks I just got. They it's in the book. They had wine at the after party, and y'all, they ran out of wine. Jesus comes on the scene and turns water into wine. Why? Because he specializes in interruptions. Mark chapter 2, Jesus is in the house preaching. There's a paralytic who's laying outside the door. He's trying to get to Jesus. Four men pick him up. They can't get him through the door. So they go up the side of the house. They go to the roof, and they literally dig through the roof, interrupting the best preacher that has ever preached. Jesus is in there preaching, and he's got to be preaching good because he's just talking about himself. And as he's preaching in the house, dirt starts coming from the ceiling, and they interrupt Jesus while he's preaching. Jesus doesn't trip. Jesus gets the man, forgives him of his sins, and gives him new legs. Why? Because Jesus specializes in interruptions. Okay, y'all still looking at me funny. There's a woman with an issue of blood. She's trying to get to Jesus, but while she's trying to get to Jesus, there's a synagogue ruler by the name of Jairus. His daughter is about to die. So he goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you need to come back to the crib because my daughter is about to die. And the woman with the issue of blood comes and interrupts Jesus while he's on his way to heal the girl. The interruption is so bad that the girl dies. But Jesus continues to walk to the house. He goes in the house. He got to put a few people out the house. He touches the girl and she comes back to life. Why? Because Jesus specializes in interruptions. I got one more. Jesus is in the boat and the disciples are in the boat with him. He says, I need y'all to come with me and go to the other side. As they're going to the other side, a great windstorm comes. The waves are beating against the boat. The water is going in the boat. They're going to die. They're going to drown. They start looking at each other saying, who going to wake Jesus up? Jesus is asleep. I think it was Peter, because Peter is the thug of the group. He got a cussing problem and a cutting problem. He's straight thugging. And I think Peter goes to wake up Jesus. Now, my kids will tell you, we got five of them. They will tell you, one thing you don't mess with daddy is his sleep. They wake Jesus up. Jesus don't trip. Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves and says, peace, be still, because Jesus specializes and interruptions. The reality is that all of us will deal with interruptions in life. Somebody came this morning and you dealt with an interruption. Interruptions will come in our lives, and we have to learn how to navigate through the interruptions that are in our lives, knowing that our interruptions could be divine. Yeah, we're dealing with interruptions, and Isaiah is dealing with an interruption in the text. The text says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Anytime you've got to deal with death, that's a show enough interruption. Anytime you got to bury a loved one, anytime you got to watch somebody roll down to the front, anytime you got to sit on that front row, that's a show enough interruption in your life. Isaiah was the mentee to Uzziah. Some people say he was the nephew or the kin to Uzziah. His heart is now broken because Uzziah is dead. And now Isaiah has to learn to deal with an interruption in his life. Y'all looking at me funny, but y'all dealing with some interruptions. I don't know if the interruption is in your marriage. I don't know if the interruption is in your career. If the interruption is in your ministry, I don't know if the interruption is in your money. I don't know where the interruption is, but all of us have to deal with interruptions. I like this text because this text is tailored to teach us how to deal with interruptions. Would y'all like to know how to deal with interruptions? Isaiah teaches us. Isaiah says the first thing you need to understand in interruptions is that you need to have an upward observation. Everybody say upward observation. It's in the text. In the year that King Uzziah died, here it is. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah, in the midst of his heart being broken, Isaiah, in the midst of his interruption, Isaiah, in the midst of dealing with death, because you do know revival means live again, don't you? Okay, I don't have time. I'll work with that next week. He says, in the midst of my interruption, I've had this upward observation where I saw God. I saw him sitting on the throne high and lifted up. He saw God, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah's name means strength. In other words, you can replace Uzziah with strength in the text. In the year that my strength died, I saw the Lord. In the year that my heart was broken, I saw God. In the year I had to deal with trifling people, y'all gonna help me preach it? I saw the Lord. In the year that I was at my lowest, I saw the Lord. He looks up and he sees God sitting on the throne. I saw the Lord, but when I saw him, he was sitting. Now I got to be honest with you, I had a problem with the text. Because in the midst of his broken heart, God is sitting. In the midst of his heartbreak, the Lord is chilling. in the midst of his turmoil, the Lord is sitting. Have you ever been in a place where you felt like God is silent and sitting on you? It's like, Lord, I've been praying, but nothing is changing. Lord, you said if I ask, if I talk to you, that you'll do. And it seems like the Lord is silent. I had a problem with that, but the Lord spoke to me in it. He's sitting. Watch this. Because he's still sovereign. He's sitting because he's still in control. He's sitting because he's not trying to figure it out. He's not on Google trying to figure out what to do next. He's not on Pinterest trying to put this thing together. He's not on a YouTube how-to video. He already knows what's going to happen because he's still in complete control. Somebody needed to hear that this morning, because in the midst of your interruption, you need to understand that God is still sovereign. He's sitting, but he's sovereign. I saw the Lord. He was sitting. And he was satisfying. Look at the text. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, in the train of his robe filled the temple. The train of his robe filled the temple. I saw him. He was sitting, but he was satisfying. Isaiah has this revival. He sees God, and he's satisfying. He sees train, and he sees temple. But there's more train than there is temple.
Okay.
According to customs and manners, when one king would go to war with another king, the king who won would go to the king who lost, cut his robe off, and sew it onto his robe. Y'all missed it over here. Let me talk. According to customs and manners, when one king would go to war with another king, the king who won would go to the king who lost, cut his robe off, and sew it onto his robe. And so when Isaiah has this upward observation and he sees God satisfying, all he sees is victory after victory after victory. There's more train than there is temple. And somebody needs to know today that in the midst of your interruption, that God is still satisfying. He satisfied me. He sees God. He sees him sitting. He sees him satisfying. Then he hears some singing. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So Isaiah, in his interruption, he sees God, he's sitting, he's satisfying, but then he hears this singing from angelic beings, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." In the Hebrew, they're singing kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. They're saying the same word over and over again because in the Hebrew language, there was no superlative move. There's no great, greater, greatest. There's no low, lower, lowest. There's no superlative move. And so in the Hebrew language, in order to put emphasis and weight on a word, they would just repeat the word. Holy, holy, he's holy. Y'all still sitting on me. Here it is. If you went to the Hebrew high school, to say that a guy was ugly, you would say he busted. Busted. If she fine, you would say she fine. She fine. She fine. This word holy means separated for the use of God. In other words, Isaiah is hearing that he, even in the midst of his interruption, has been separated for the use of God. Somebody needed to hear that this morning because you feel like you're no longer in use to his service. But all of you, all of us are called to serve the Lord. No. Nobody is here to sit on the bench. No, nobody is here to sit on the sideline. But God says, "I have separated you for my use and my use only." I like this because Leviticus 19 teaches us that we're holy because the Lord our God is holy, which means we're separated, which means only he can use us. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it on Youth Sunday. You got to be at least 35 years old to understand what I'm about to say. Google it if you don't understand. My big mama had a china cabinet. And the china cabinet, the only time that you could use the dishes from the china cabinet was on Thanksgiving, special occasion, Christmas, Easter. In other words, you dare not touch that china if it's not a special occasion. Here it is. God has set you apart, young people, special. That's why everybody can't bring you out the china cabinet. Everybody can't touch on you. I wish y'all helped me preach. Everybody, you've been set apart by God. Isaiah, in the midst of his interruption, he sees God. He's sitting. He's satisfying. Then he hears this singing. He hears these angelic beings who are singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Isaiah has this this upward observation. But then watch this. Isaiah has an inward transformation. He has an upward observation, but he has this inward transformation. Look back at the text, verse 4. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah has this upward observation where he sees God, but then he has this inward transformation where he sees himself. If we want to have revival, we have to come to a place where we see ourselves. The text says that the house was filled with smoke. And after the house is filled with smoke, Isaiah says, whoa. Okay, I'll say it again. The house is filled with smoke, which is a metaphor for the glory of God. The text said just earlier, it says that the earth was filled with his glory. In other words, there was more train than there was temple, but there was more glory than there was earth. And so when he comes in, the text says that the house is filled with smoke. And after he sees the glory of God, he says, whoa. Okay, y'all stand up. This is when I don't get invited back right here. This is when I lose all my friends. So I had a lot of issues. Let me talk to the students. I had a lot of issues in high school. I'm not judging anybody. I had a lot of issues. Still got issues. But one of my issues was not smoking weed. Hey, man, I'm not judging anybody. If you smoke weed, we're going to pray and talk to the Lord to help you out. We're not judging. We're just talking. We're just having a conversation. But that just wasn't one of my problems, right? That wasn't one of them. But I had a boy, my homeboy. I won't say his name. I think we're recording. He was an avid smoker. Pastor, he wake up, smoke. Midday, smoke. Afternoon, smoke. Nighttime, smoke. I mean, smoker. He was the first one to have a car out of all of us. So we had to ride with him. I'm going to go back to the students. So when he would come and pick us up, the whole car. And so when you would get in the car, the whole car would be filled. And even though I wasn't a smoker, I would get high off contact. And so really what Isaiah says, he says that the glory of God was smoked out. And he caught contact of the smoke. And he said, whoa. He said, whoa is me. I'm a wretch undone. And then he threw everybody else under the bus. He said, they all messed up too. Everybody I dwell with. I like Isaiah because even though he's in the midst of an interruption, he sees God, but he sees himself. And until we see ourselves and have a whoa moment, that's why it's so important, True Vine, to get the glory of God in the house. That when those that don't know him come in, they will catch contact and say, whoa. I like Isaiah because Isaiah looks at himself. Isaiah is not like the woman who would come downstairs every morning, sit at the table with her family, look out the window, and see her next door neighbor hanging dirty clothes on the clothesline. Every morning she would come downstairs. They would sit at the table. She would look out the window. And she would say, that woman needs to get her life together because them clothes still dirty. that she's hanging on the clothesline. Why don't she get some awl or some Arm & Hammer or something? Because those clothes aren't clean. Every morning, come downstairs, sit at the table, look through the window. She would see the woman hanging the clothes. That woman needs to get her life together. Those clothes are still dirty. So one day she comes downstairs, she looks out the window. As she looks out the window, she says, finally, that woman got her life together. She learned how to wash clothes. She learned how to clean the clothes. And her husband says, no, I came down before you did, and I cleaned the window. Because the reality is, we ought to be looking at mirrors and not through windows. We got to come to some place where we look at ourselves. I got to have a whoa moment where I look at, I'm messed up. I'm dirty. I'm trifling. I still got some ways. I like Isaiah. I like Isaiah because he says, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. There's some things in me that need to come out. Isaiah is not in the business of pretending. He's not like the famous zoo that everyone would come to from all over the country. They would come to the zoo to see this gorilla in the cage do his act. Everybody would fly in from all over to see the gorilla in the cage. One day, the gorilla died. They had to find another gorilla. They knew it was going to take a minute to find another gorilla, so they put a man in a suit. The man was doing an amazing job. People were still flying from all over to see the gorilla in the cage. The man who was in the suit, and then I guess one day he got a little too excited and he fell in the lion's cage. As he falls in the lion's cage, the lion starts coming toward him and he's in a frenzy, he's panicking, he doesn't know what to do, so he figures if he could get the headpiece off of the gorilla suit, the lion will see that he's a man and the lion won't eat him. He tries to get the headpiece off, but he can't get the headpiece off because the zipper is stuck. So the lion is still coming toward him, still coming after him. And so he says, well, at least if I could get this bodysuit off, then the lion will see I'm a man and the lion won't eat me. As the lion continues to come, he tries to take the body piece off and the zipper is stuck. Finally, the lion gets up on him. The lion is roaring and the gorilla says, Mr. Lion, still, please, don't eat me. And the lion says, shut up, fool, or we both gonna lose our jobs. Because oftentimes we pretend to be what we never intend to be. And I like Isaiah because he's not pretending. He doesn't have a mask on. He doesn't have a facade. He says, listen, it's me. I need help. Whoa. Isaiah, he has this upward observation. He has this inward transformation. But then he has this outward demonstration. Look in the text. So I said, woe, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongues of the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. I like that. Because he catches contact, and then he's convicted, and then he's converted, and then he's cleansed. Says he brought the live coal, and he touched my mouth with it. That means he cleansed. This is salvation in the Old Testament. He cleansed my life. He cleaned me. And I want to pause right there because there may be somebody who's watching online. There may be somebody who is in the house. You feel like you've done too much to be cleansed by God. But he died on the cross for you that he could cleanse you from all iniquity, all sins. That means all your triflingness, all your mess ups, all your hang ups, the times that you didn't dot every I and cross every T. He cleanses him. He's cleansed for this outward demonstration. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. You know what we need to have a revival of survival? We need men and women, boys and girls, who would accept this divine call that says, here am I. I mean, it's not deep. It's nothing where the Lord has to come sit on your bed and talk to you. It's not where you got to have a dream. If you are a believer, if you have given your life to Christ, you must have a here am I. This is a divine call. The text says, who will go for us? It's a Trinitarian move in the Old Testament. It's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit move in the Old Testament where he says, who will go for us? It's a divine call, and he's waiting on the answer to be, here am I. I wondered, Dr. Grice, why the text didn't say, here I am. Here I am suggests, you tell me what to do, I'll do it. Here am I suggests, before you tell me what to do, I've already said yes. God is looking for some folk at True Vine in the midst of interruptions in your life to accept a call of divinity that says, here am I. Send me. We're about to get out of here. This call is divine, but this call is also defined. Because we kind of throw this up all the time that you have a call from God. And we kind of leave it right there. I have a divine call. No, what are you called to do? Because right now you ain't doing nothing. I mean, real talk. Square business, you really ain't doing nothing. I mean, I know you're saying you have a divine call, and maybe you have a gift of prayer. That's all of us supposed to pray. I mean, you're doing stuff that we're supposed to be doing. Right? But I like this because he defines the call. And it's a call really for all of us. It's right here, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. That's the defined call right there. That's the definition. I know you was looking for something deep. I'm not as deep as your pastor. I ain't that smart. All I got right now is this defined call, and the call says, go and tell. That's all I got. That's all it was. It's divine and it's defined. Go and tell. Here's the reality. According to Barna Research, 76% of churchgoers don't know what the Great Commission is. I'll say it again for the people in the back. According to Barna Research, 76% of churchgoers, of choir members, of elders, of greeters, of youth workers, don't know what the Great Commission is. No wonder 92% of our churches are either plateaued or in decline. We don't know what the assignment is. He gives Isaiah the assignment. He says, here's your assignment. It's real simple. Go and tell. We've missed the gospel goal. We've missed the goal. We've missed the reason that we're supposed to be here in the first place. He says, Isaiah, I need you to go and tell. I'm closing, but I love coaching my son, my youngest son, Micah. I coach both of them. Every great basketball player starts at the YMCA. Every great basketball player starts at the YMCA. And I love coaching my son in basketball. And I remember when he was in the 4 and 5 age group. He was in the 4 and 5 age group. And I was excited to coach Micah in basketball. I couldn't wait to coach him. And I was putting plays together, y'all. I was putting different defensive schemes together. I was putting all these different drills together. And what I discovered is it's difficult to teach 4 4 and 5 year olds how to dribble. It's difficult to teach them how to shoot and how to pass and how to have teamwork. But what I've discovered is the hardest thing to teach 4 and 5 year olds is not to dribble, it's not to shoot, it's not to pass, it's not to play defense. The toughest thing to teach 4 and 5 year olds in basketball is just to shoot in the right goal. I know you ain't know. You ain't never coached 4 and 5 year olds. The hardest thing is just to get them to shoot in the right goal. And then at halftime, baby's just confused. We won the championship, not because we were better than the other team, but that the other team kept shooting in our goal. We've missed the assignment. Says Isaiah, I know it's tough for you, Isaiah. I know you're dealing with some stuff, Isaiah, in your personal life. But you've got to have this upward observation and see me. You've got to have this inward transformation and see yourself. Then you've got to have this outward demonstration so you can see them. I'll close with this story, true story, a recreation center in New Orleans. Recreation center went 11 weeks. They went the whole summer with no drowning. So they wanted to celebrate the fact that they had gone 11 weeks, no one drowned. So naturally, they threw a pool party. As they throw the pool party, over 200 certified lifeguards and then 6 lifeguards on duty. They party like it's 1999. They turn all the way up. They get to the end of the party and start cleaning up, only to find Jerome Moody, age 31, fully clothed, dead in the deep end. How does one die of drowning while being surrounded by over 200 certified lifeguards? I think what happened was they got so caught up in the celebration that they missed people around them dying. True Vine, if we want revival, we've got to have a here am I and not get so caught church stuff. So much so that we miss people in this city and surrounding cities dying. God has called you, if you're a believer, to have a here am I. But God has called you, if you don't know him, to have a here I am. To say yes to his son dying on the cross for your sins. So I think we're going to stand in a minute. You're going to have a chance to come forward. If you're in the here am I, you just have not been doing what God has called you to do, simply going and telling. You don't remember the last time you've shared your faith or led someone to the Lord. If that's you today, then we want you to come to have a here am I. But if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, we want you to have a here I am. And say, Lord, thank you for saving me, and I want to give my heart to you. Let's ponder on that as we let the Lord work through us, even in the midst of divine interruptions. God bless you.
Thank you so much for your attendance and your support of the podcast. We do hope to see you again or hear you again or even talk to me again. And we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you.